Morning. We're starting John chapter 9. John chapter 9 is about the healing of the person that was born blind. And the first part of that is really about the causes of sickness. And the disciples asked Jesus, you know, who caused this man to be born blind? Was it the sin of his own sin? Was it the sin of his parents? Who caused this blindness? And so we'll get into looking today at some of the causes of sickness. We'll look at Jesus' response to them, and we'll look at Jesus' healing. And next week in part two, we'll be looking at the rest of that, and where Jesus has a discussion, you know, with them about that. So anyway, but today we're focused on, you know, what are the causes of sickness, and it's part one. In 2000, one of my daughters was diagnosed with leukemia, and one of the churches had a prayer meeting on her behalf, and there were probably 400 or 500 people there, and they called me up to the front, and in front of everybody, they said, "Lord, we ask you to reveal the sin in this man's life that's causing his daughter to be sick." And so, you know, that was in 2000. In 2012, we had a pastor that was talking about one of my daughters who had an autoimmune disease, and he said that this sickness is caused by sin, it's caused by demons, or it's caused by a lack of faith. And so there's two different examples where people have some false teaching about the causes of sin. There's a tremendous need for that. This is not a new problem. If we go back to the Old Testament in the book of Job, Job is probably one of the oldest books of the Bible. It says in Job 1 that Job lived, it says here, there was a man in the land of Uz. Now, who was Uz? Well, Uz was the grandson of Shem. Who was Shem? Shem was the son of Noah. He had Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So Uz is the grandson. And so Uz's land, he when they moved out, he got his own area of property there where he was settled. And the land of Uz, there was this man by the name of Job. At that time, people were living to be about 450 years of age. After the flood, God said that I'm not going to strive with man forever. From this time forth, his days will be 70. But it took many, many different generations to go down from 980 years, you know, down to where people were living 70 years. And so at this time of history, they were living about 450. But Job, it says the sons of God were presenting their offerings, and Satan, you know, came there. Well, the sons of God is really, there were two lines. There was the lineage of the righteous. That would be Abraham, and that would be through, not through Cain, who slew his brother, but he had another son named Seth. And so it was the righteous generation. They're called the sons of God. And so they were meeting, and apparently they're worshiping, and Satan was there. And he said, you know, and so God has a conversation with him, and Satan demanded permission, and God gave him permission to strike him down. And so in Job 42, at the very end of it, God, after Satan has given Job boils and all kinds of sickness. He lost all his children, his daughters, and his sons. I think there were seven sons, three daughters. But anyway, he had great wealth, but Satan struck all of it down, and including Job's health. And then he has some friends that come by, and instead of comforting him, they accuse him of sin. They said, because your sin has caused all these calamities in your life and your sickness. And so at the very end, in Job 42, it says, it came about that after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz, that Temanite, "My wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." And so there's been this thinking for you know, Old Testament, New Testament, you know, for a long time about sin and causing the sin and the calamities that we face in our life, the sicknesses that we have. Now, John 9 is about the healing of a man born blind. And of course, they're thinking that, you know, who caused this, you know, this person to be born, you know, blind? Was it the sin of the individual or the sin of his parents? And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. So, Father God, we ask you just to give us understanding and insight, because there's a lot of people that are sick, and we want to have compassion. We want to have the right attitude about people. And so we want to have your perspective about things. And so open up the word to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So open your Bibles. Let's go to John chapter 9. And it says, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. Well, as he passed by, let's just stop there for a minute. In John chapter 8, Jesus had been preaching there. It's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. He's been preaching. He says, I'm the light of the world. He had given an invitation. He says, I'll give you living water. Whoever's thirsty, come and drink of me. And there were many people that came to Christ. And so he began to share with them a discipling message about, hey, if you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And there were other Jews and Pharisees that were there that kind of kidnapped the conversation. And so he had a discussion with the Pharisees about all these things. And in the course of that, he says that you're of your father and I'm of my father. I'm from above, you're from the earth. And they said, we have no father but Abraham. And he said, if Abraham was your father, then you would do the deeds of Abraham. But you're trying to put me to death, something Abraham did not do. And then they ask him about that. And he says, before Abraham, was, I am. And so Jesus tells him that he is. And of course, I am in the Old Testament was one of the names for God. It's how God identified himself as the I am. So Jesus was claiming to be God himself. And so they picked up stones to throw him. And as we get to the end of chapter 8, it says, therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. And as he passed by, so Jesus, you just picture this, you've got people that have picked up stones. The temple was still under Herod's reconstruction of it, and there were stones and other things laying around. They pick them up. They're going to stone him, and he's going out of the temple, and he sees this blind man. He passes by. And so you would think that, wow, stopping to see this blind man would be an interruption. But for Jesus, it was not an interruption. He said, hey, this is, he says, I only do the things I see the Father doing. And he saw this blind man and he knew that this was something the Father wanted him to do. So he stops, even though these people are behind him with stones and they're wanting to put him to death. He stops. So as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, verse 2, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? That's a great question, although I don't think that it's a very fair question, because we know that there's other causes besides just the individual sin. Well, where did this belief come from about, where did this sin come from? Well, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was no sin and there was no sickness on earth. And we find in Revelation that there's not going to be any sickness in heaven. So in God's kingdom, there is no sickness. But unfortunately, when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought death and they also brought sin and sickness into the earth. So when God gave the command to Adam and Eve, he says, from all the trees of the garden you may eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day that you eat that, you shall surely die. Well, when they ate that, they brought death to them. Now, they didn't die right away, but their life became limited. They were going to die at that point. Well, a few generations or a few years after that, there was a man, and I want to go to Genesis chapter 4, because I think this is real pertinent here. It says, Adam had relationships with his wife again. This is after Cain had killed Abel. And she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. And then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So one day I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, why did they start calling on the name of the Lord in the days of Enosh? Why not in Adam and Eve? Why not with Seth? Why did they start in the day of Enosh? What's significant about Enosh? And so I looked up the word Enosh, and it comes from the Hebrew word Anash. And let me read to you what the Strong's Concordance says about Enosh. It says, a primary root to be frail, to be feeble, to be melancholy, desperately sick, incurable, sick, or woeful. And so what happened in the days of Enosh? There was this pronouncement of death when Adam and Eve sinned, but the realization that people were beginning to get sick, to get frail, to die, didn't hit them until the days of Enosh. And so Enosh is kind of symbolic of the times. You remember in Genesis 10, there was a man by the name of Peleg, for in his days, the earth was divided. And so all the continents split apart there in the days of Peleg. Well, his name was symbolic of what was happening at the time, a sign of what was happening. And the same is the case with the name of Enosh. In his days, people began to get sick. They began to get frail. Now, Enosh himself did not. He lived 910 years. And so he wasn't frail. He wasn't sickly. But this it was characteristic of the day that he lived in. So sin brought in sickness into the world. And so ever since then, we've had sickness. Now, there's a number of things that you can do to mitigate, you know, the sickness in the world. And so, you know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, and I've been on chemo, and so my immune system is compromised. So we're very careful. I wash my hands a lot. I avoid crowds. You know, we do things to be very careful. You're careful with your diet. You don't eat a lot of sweets because they lower your immune system. You eat a lot of vegetables and fruits, and you exercise. You try and get decent rest because rest is important to your health. So there's things we can do, but guess what? There is sickness in the world. And so we have to be very careful about that. Now, let's take a look at sin. Now, we know that sin caused it, but part of that came from the blessing and curses in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy 28, God had, you know, some of the men, elders, they were on one mountain, and he had some other on another mountain, and they pronounced the blessings on one mountain and the curses on the other mountain. So we have blessings for obedience, and there were certain curses for disobedience. And so listen to Deuteronomy 28. This is verses 58 through 61. And Moses, according to God, what God told him to say is, if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. He will bring back to you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. And so there were curses that were brought about by their disobedience, and that included all kinds of sicknesses and chronic ailments and plagues and things. And so there was sickness brought in by sin. Now, their question wasn't just about sin in general. They said, who sinned? Was it this individual or was it his parents? And so they wanted to know, you know, who caused it. And so let me just say this, that some sicknesses are caused by an individual's his own actions. Let me give you some just statistics. There are over 30 sexually transmitted diseases, or STDs. Okay, 75% of those are not curable. Only 1 in 4 of the STDs are curable. And so the World Health Organization says that 1.1 billion people in the world have sexually transmitted diseases right now. 1.1 billion. So that's a lot of people, especially with incurable diseases, and most of this is coming from promiscuous sexual activity outside of marriage. And so not a good thing. The CDC, which is the Center of Disease Control here in America, in 2022, gave a terrible, this is a real saddening statistic. They said that between 30 and 40% of teenage girls here in America have sexually transmitted diseases. 30 to 40% of the girls here in this country right now have sexually transmitted diseases. Remember that 75% of those are not curable. Okay, so most of these diseases are just caused, and the sicknesses are caused by the sin. Now, I didn't give you any statistics. Those statistics don't even include the statistics about AIDS. Those are outside of those statistics. And so that's just one different example. But there are sicknesses. You can have liver disease and from excess drinking of alcohol. I was looking at one of the causes of birth defects, and the one of the birth defects that can cause blindness, it can cause all kinds of problems, is alcohol. And so we'll get to that when we talk about the sins of the parents. But just there are many, many different sins. If we look in the Bible, one of the best places to look in the Old Testament was in Numbers chapter 12. And Miriam and Aaron were not so excited about Moses. And so they spoke against Moses. And he had married, if you remember, he had married an Ethiopian woman. And it says in verse 9, so the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. God doesn't like when you speak against the leaders, his appointed leaders, particularly, when you don't understand what they've done and you make some false accusations. It says, when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. Now, her leprosy was because of her personal sin that they had attacked Moses, and she was left with that. And then Moses pleads on their behalf, and the Lord says she's got to remain outside the camp for a week, then she can come back in. And so she remained outside the camp for a week, and then she was brought in, and she was received, and she was clean again. We also see in the New Testament that in 1 Corinthians 12, the discipline of the Lord was on the church, and Paul wrote that many of you were sick, and some have even gone asleep, meaning they've died. Why? Because they were taking the Lord's Supper in a sinful way. And so there was definitely a sin and definitely a sickness that had come about as a result of sin in their lives. And so anyway, there's other sins besides, that a person can have unforgiveness. Do you know that unforgiveness can cause sin and can cause sickness in your life? Anger and can cause certain things. They say that gastrointestinal problems many times have the root of bitterness and anger. And so, but they say that many of the forms of arthritis can come out of bitterness and anger and unresolved conflicts. And so in the book here by Jack Moraine on healing ministry, toward the end of that, he gives a number of different causes of sicknesses that individuals can have, their own improper actions. God tells us to forgive one another. And if we don't do that, guess what? There can be sicknesses in our own life. And so there could be stress, fear, anxiety. A lot of the blood pressures come from fear and anxiety. And so, but unforgiveness is a big one. And I was interested that the Mayo Clinic agreed with Jack Moraine about some of these causes. And of course, that would be a secular organization. And this is what the Mayo Clinic said. They said that letting go of grudges and bitterness can make way for improved health and peace of mind. Forgiveness can lead to less anxiety, stress, hostility, fewer symptoms of depression, lower blood pressure, stronger immune system, and an improved heart health. Okay, so that's the Mayo Clinic talking about forgiveness. The Science Daily, which is another secular organization, they said holding a grudge appears to affect the cardiovascular and nervous systems. Now, these are secular organizations, and so that would be the sin of an individual. If you don't forgive people when they do something, then we end up getting bitter and have resentment in these things, and they can cause health in our own self. Now, when the disciples asked Jesus who sinned, this man or his parents, now, imagine this. This man is born blind, and so he's not even out of the womb, and he's already blind. And so what sin is this man going to have done to bring about blindness in his life? And so anyway, probably not a sin from him. Now, we are born with a sin nature because it's passed on through the male. And so we know that we're all born in sin. But that's not any sin that would be peculiar to him. Okay, let's look at the second thing that they said. It was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that would bring about, you know, that would cause him to be born blind? And so parents can cause sin. Now, I mentioned to you earlier some statistics about the World Health Organization. In 2022, the World Health Organization said that 1.1 million ladies were pregnant, and at the time of their pregnancy, they had syphilis, which is a sexually transmitted disease. Now, the cause of that, I mean, the fruit of that was 390,000 babies born in 2022 that their mothers had syphilis. They had what they call adverse birth outcomes. That included blindness, which this man is born blind. So syphilis can cause blind births. It causes microcephaly. Now, micro means small, and cephaly comes from the Greek word kephalos, which means the head. So microcephaly means that they're born with a small head. A small head means, the thing about it is, they have limited brain function, so they usually have some brain disorders and other things associated with that. And alcohol can also cause microcephaly. And so if a parent is taking drugs or taking alcohol, there can be birth defects. Now, my wife and I, we raised some foster children when I was a prison chaplain. And so we had crack babies. These mothers were arrested and they had crack in their system, and that crack was passed down to their children. So these babies that we took in typically were 5 pounds or less. And so they were very shaky and nervous. And so it would take about 6 to 8 months to get this poison out of their systems, where the babies would now become calm and peaceful. And so that was the sin of the parents affecting the health. And we spent a fair amount of time in the ER with these babies because they were sickly when they were born, all from their parents. Now, in the Bible, the Bible says that, in fact, if we go to Exodus chapter 20, where Moses was given the Ten Commandments, we find there that, let me just read one of those. It says, Exodus 25, it says, "You shall not worship them or serve them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Now, there's a lot of misunderstanding about that, but there are generational sins. There are generational curses that get passed down. And so we sometimes a third or fourth generation. I've seen that in prison ministry, where I've seen, you know, three or four generations that are all in prison. I've seen that in the government housing projects that we've ministered in. And one day I was ministering there, and there were five generations of one family living in that government housing. And it was just passed on. The spirit of poverty was upon them. And so there are things that are passed down. Now, some of these things you would think, well, just normal. They eat unhealthy diets. And guess what? The children learn to eat unhealthy foods. And guess what? They have the same sicknesses and heart disease and things because they eat the same lard and fat that their parents ate. And so they never have changed that. And so certain things, certain anger, the father is angry and he's always angry. Angry and his temper. And guess what? The children learn to be angry and have a temper. And the father drinks and is alcohol. And so some of the children learn to have that. So some things are passed down generationally. And so those things need to be break. But guess what? When it comes to judging someone, God says that each person will be judged on his own sins. And so I want to go there. In Ezekiel 18, it says, "Yet you say, why should the son not bear the punishment for a father's iniquity? When the son has practiced justice and righteousness and observed all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity, nor the father bear the punishment of the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon him." Guess what? Even though there are generational sins, if a son repents of that, or a daughter, guess what? The cycle can be broken. And so they're not going to be judged because of their parents' sins. They're going to, when we stand before God, he's going to judge us on our own merits. And if you've lived righteously, if you've got the blood of Jesus and you've been forgiven of your sins, you should not die in your sins. You're not going to die for your parents' sins. Each person will come before God, and you'll stand there based on your own merit. And so Anyway, there are sins of the fathers and that can be passed on. So that's a fair question that they ask him. But there are other things that can cause sin. I'm just going to take a quick break from the passage here because there are other things that they didn't understand. I mentioned in the opening about Job and how he was sick. Well, where did his sickness come from? Well, we know very clearly in Job chapter 2. Let me just read that for you. In Job chapter 2, verse 7, it says, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And Job had not done anything. He was a righteous man before God. And so listen to verse 9. It says, and his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? You see, Job was a man of integrity, and yet he was struck down with these boils and these sores. And she says, curse God and die. And yet it says, in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. He was a righteous man, and yet he suffered these things. And so it was not necessarily the sin of society. It was from Satan. So some sicknesses come from Satan. And we know in the New Testament that that's very true. We go to, for example, in Matthew, I'll just give you a few quick examples. In Matthew chapter 9, there was a mute demon-possessed man who was brought to Jesus. And after the demon was cast out, the mute man spoke. That's Matthew 9, 32 and 33. In Matthew chapter 12, there was a blind and mute man who was brought to Jesus, and Jesus healed him so that the mute man spoke and he saw. So Jesus cast out the demon, and the man was able to speak and to be able to see. And so that's just two different examples there out of Matthew. And so when Jesus sent out the apostles, he gave them power and authority to do what? Over all the demons and to heal sicknesses and diseases. Now, not all sicknesses come from demons, and so, but some of them do come from demonic. And so where there is a demonic, you have to deal with a demonic, and you'll find that there's healing there. But they had the authority and the power to heal, whether it was from demonic causes or other causes. There are also sicknesses that come from toxicity. I mentioned to you about the crack babies that my wife and I used to take care of. But there are other things, I mentioned to you, for example, alcohol can cause kidney disease. And so that's a chemical thing. When we lived in Orlando, there was a man next door to us, and his son Eric, on his left arm, was just a stub. It went down to about where my elbow was. And at the end of the elbow, he had looked like little tiny peas that were his, five peas for his fingers on the top of this stub. And so what had happened is he had served in the Navy in Vietnam, and he had come across Agent Orange. And the Agent Orange had caused birth defects in his children there. And so that was from chemical. He hadn't done anything wrong, and he had greater sin than anybody else. I mean, we've all sinned, but this was caused from a chemical exposure. I have a relative that recently was diagnosed with leukemia, and they said that it was probably caused from the Agent Orange that he was exposed to in the Vietnam War. And so there are, many of them say that the chemicals from Roundup by the Monsanto Corporation, there's lawsuits against them, but they say that causes leukemia, that causes cancer. In fact, the multiple myeloma I was diagnosed with, they said that's one of the causes of it is Roundup. So we need to be very careful about the chemicals that we use. And so the processed foods, a lot of the foods today have chemicals in them. And so the fertilizers, the pesticides, the insecticides, and so the organic foods today that are free from those are a little bit healthier, and you can really minimize some of the effect. But there are different, those are just another type of cause. And then you have some people that are sick, and we don't really know why they were sick. And let me give you an example. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, Paul is writing to them, and I want to read what he said. Now, Paul, you got to remember, he was an apostle. He was a righteous man. He says that he served God with a clear conscience all the days of his life. He was a man of faith. He healed many people, and yet Paul was sick. It says, you know that it was because of bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you for the first time. He wasn't in sin. He's preaching the gospel to these people. And so, but it was he had a sickness there. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Later on, he says, he said that if you could have, you would have plucked out your own eye and given it to me. So we think that, you know, perhaps some of the sickness that he had had to do with his eyes, but we don't know that for sure. But he had an illness, and it wasn't because of his own sin or his parents' sin. It was just that, you know, that Paul got sick. We know in Philippians chapter 2 that Epaphroditus, he says, I thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all, was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, that I not have sorrow upon sorrow. So here's a faithful co-worker. This is a team player for Paul. And Paul's going to send him. He's not going to send somebody that's involved in sin. He's not going to send someone who's unfaithful. He's not going to send somebody that's demonically, you know, possessed. He's sending a faithful and a righteous man who had been sick. And so we think about Trophimus. Paul is on his fourth missionary journey. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says that he left Trophimus. He left sick at Miletus. Well, there's no reason for it, but Trophimus was going to be part of Timothy's team, and he was a team member. He's a faithful man, and Paul wants Timothy to know where all his teammates are, and so he's giving him an update of where all these people are in that letter, because he's about to be put to death. But he was sick, and he left him there at Miletus. And Paul doesn't say anything about him, you know, being in sin or anything else. And then Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, he says, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and frequent ailments. Now, according to the World Health Organization, 2.1 billion people in the world have unsanitary water to drink right now. As in 2025, 2.1 billion do not have safe drinking water. And so that was the case there with Paul and Timothy. He says, don't drink just water, drink a little wine, because there's things in there that'll help you with some of the frequent ailments that you're having. So some things can be caused by other things. Not everything is caused by a sin, your sin, or your sin of your parents. Now let's take a look at number two, at Jesus's response. Verse 3, Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, last week I was giving some counsel to a man, and I gave him some counsel, and I'd been praying. I pray for this man every day and for his wife, and I gave him some counsel, and I don't think it was the counsel he was looking for. He said, did you talk to somebody? I said, yeah, I talked to the Lord. I said, I've been praying for you. I said, but I didn't talk to anybody, because he thought I had some insider information, you know, that I'm giving him the counsel that I did. I said, no, I didn't talk to anybody. I've just talked to the Lord about your situation, and this is what I have. And it wasn't the counsel that he was expecting. Well, I don't think this is what the counsel that the disciples, he says, neither. It wasn't this man's sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. And so they're taken back a little bit. And then Jesus says it was for, you know, the works of God to be done in him. Let's take a look at it. Was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Do you know what I really like about that? That some people are concerned about, well, what's the cause of your sickness? What's the cause of this? And you know, and people are always quick to give answers. Well, I remember when my daughter was diagnosed with leukemia, people would write us letters, and they would tell us that we need to start eating vegetables, and we need to start eating healthy diets. And, you know, and of course, they didn't know us very well, because we were growing our own organic foods, and we were eating healthy, and yet she still got leukemia. But people were quick to give you answers. But notice that Jesus wasn't, I mean, he did give him an answer. He said neither. But notice where Jesus's focus is. This is so that the works of God can be done. You know, when I'm praying for people, I'm not praying, Lord, show me the sin in this person that's causing this. I know, you know, that's helpful if you're counseling somebody later on. But, you know, this person is hurting. They need comforting. They need healing. And so, Lord, you know, I'm praying that you would heal this person. And so Jesus is focused on what needs to be done as opposed to what caused it. And there's room for both in those. But people that are hurting don't need to be caught up in the cause. They need some comfort. They need healing. You know, as a former professional golfer, when I got in trouble, if I hit it in the woods, I hit it in the rough or somewhere, you know, I wasn't concerned about, you know, thinking about all the things that made me hit that bad shot. My focus is, what do I need to do to get back in position so I can finish out this hole and play the best round that I can? It's not focused on the past. We need to be focused. Okay, what do I need to do now? And that's where Jesus' focus is. He says, this is so that we can do the works of God in this man. So that was, I love that answer that Jesus gave him. Now, Jesus said that this is so that the works of God can be done in him. And then he goes on to say that we must, and I like the word we. It didn't just say I. He said we. That included the apostles. That included others. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Guess what he says in Matthew 13? He says, you are the light of the world. Guess what? And in Acts chapter 1, when Luke writes, he says, this is the beginning in the first account I composed, you know, and it says, and of all the things that Jesus began to do. Guess what? The book of Acts is what Jesus was continuing to do, but now it was through other people. Some people say it was through just the apostles. Well, no, it wasn't just the apostles. There were other people who were not apostles in the book of Acts who were also healing people and doing things. And so this was just the beginning. We are to carry on, as Jesus said, we must do the works of God. You and I have been called to do the works of God. And Jesus was focused on that. Now, Jesus also said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So Jesus had, I think Jesus knew. I think he knew before he ever left the temple. I think he knew early in the morning before he ever started that day. I think the Father had told him all the things that are going to happen. I think the Father showed him this blind man because Jesus found him. The blind man didn't find him. And so as he passed by, he saw this blind man and he went to him. He took the initiative to go to this man. And so I think he's in prayer and he sees, you know, and he hears the Father tell him about this man and what he's going to do. I think that you and I have to be praying and we have to be listening to what the Father would have you tell us. Let me give you a couple of stories real quickly about that. One day we had a man by the name of Jim in our church, and he was very sick and he had colon cancer. Karen and I visited him in the hospital. I visited him at home. We prayed for him a lot. But one day I was praying in my bedroom and I was praying for Jim. And I said, Lord, you know, you say, you know, call for the elders, lay hands on him and, he'll recover. And the Lord says, this is a sickness unto death, Bill. And he's, you know, Jim's going to die. And this is what I want you to preach. I want you to preach out of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, this man was a man of faith. He was a righteous man. He was a good man, but he was a man of faith. I remember at my Christmas message, I had him come up and stand beside me, and he read some of the passages and to the church. But Jim was a good man. But he was a man of faith. And so I preached exactly what the Lord told me about faith. It wasn't any condemnation about this man and because he got this colon cancer because he was sick or something else. No, this was a good man. But the Lord said he's going to die. And then we had another man about 2-3 years later get sick, and he had colon cancer too. And his name was Lee. And so I'm praying in my bedroom for Lee. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm praying that you would heal Lee. And he says, Bill, he says, you're my representative. You go lay hands on him. You go and you rebuke that cancer in my name, and I will heal him. So the next day I go before him and I said, Lee, I said, the Lord told me to pray for you. He told me how to pray for you. So after the service, I'd like to, you know, pray for you. And I told Karen, I said, Karen, I'm going to pray for him. And they're not going to find a trace of cancer on him. Well, the day before I prayed for him, or 2 days before on Friday, he had been to the doctor and they had taken out his lymph nodes, and all 18 lymph nodes had cancer, which means the colon had gone through his colon and it spread throughout his body. So he was stage 3 and they gave him probably 3-4 months to live at most. Well, the day after I prayed for Lee, they did a PET scan on him. They couldn't find a trace of cancer anywhere in his body. Okay. And so, but what I'm saying to you is that, you know, we go to the Father, and so he may choose to heal this man. Jesus did not heal everybody. Now, some places he healed all that were sick, but he didn't always heal everybody. But we have to go before the Father. It's him that heals people. And so we're just his instruments. We're his servants. And so sometimes God is going to choose, but he's given us this ministry, and we are to do the continue to do the works of God so that people can be healed. And so this is a great passage talking about, you know, the causes of sin. I love Jesus's response. It wasn't his sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. It was so that the works of God can be displayed. And just a real exhortation there that we're to continue to do those works as long as it's day, as long as we have an opportunity. So let's take a look at number 3. How did he heal him? After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away, washed, came back seeing. Okay, so 4 things. He spat on the ground, and he made some spittle there. Then he anointed his eyes with that clay, and then he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the pool of Siloam was built by Hezekiah, and it's about 1,750 feet long there. And so Hezekiah brought water into the city of Jerusalem. And this tunnel, being 1,750 feet, it took a lot of work to do that. And so we find that in 2 Kings. I'll just read it. It says, "The rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, how he made the pool and the conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah?" And so the pool of Siloam is on the south end of town. Now, the temple is on the northeast side of Jerusalem. So Jesus sends him across town. And you remember that next week when we start talking into the responses from the healing of this blind man. And so they're going to ask him about Jesus. Well, Jesus is by that time is long gone, because Jesus was on the north side, and this the pool of Siloam was on the south side. I want to bring up just a possible connection. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord on this. I'm saying it's a possible connection. And there is an account in the Bible, and it's actually in Luke chapter 13, about the Tower of Siloam. Now, the Tower of Siloam was by the Pool of Siloam. And in the days of Herod killed 18 people who were offering, they had brought in sacrifices, and they were cleaning them at the pool of Siloam in order to prepare them for sacrifice to be offered. And while they were doing that, Herod, some kind of grievance he had, he put all 18 of these Jews to death. And so I'll pick it up in Luke 13. "And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that these 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, they were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" Now, the reason I say that there's a possible connection there is their question by his disciples was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that would cause this man to be blindness? When the Tower of Siloam and these 18 people were killed, they were wanting to know about the sin of these 18 people. And so what Jesus says to them is, "Do you think that they're any worse sinners than you are? You likewise are going to perish unless you repent." And Jesus is talking about all of us have sin, and we have to stand before God. And so we're all going to perish. But the only way to escape that is to put our trust in Christ and to be healed of our sins, not just of our blindness. And so it's the same question that was asked about the Tower of Siloam that was asked about the Pool of Siloam. And so that's why I say there's a possible connection. I'm not saying definitively that's the way it is, but that, as I studied, that came to my mind and that came across. So Jesus had healed the man It's a wonderful passage that we have there. Now, what are some applications that we can have from this passage? Well, I think number one is that we need to be doing the works of God. And that's what Jesus says. We must do the works of him who sent us. So we need to be observant and looking around as we pass by in life, as we go there. We need to be aware of people around us that are hurting and need to be touched. And so we need to also be in prayer. Lord, is there somebody that you want me to touch today? Because I know that you want me, you want all of us to be doing the works of him, of the Father. And so I think that that's another one. Number two is I think that there is a time to look at the causes, and that would usually be someone who's you know, after they've been healed. Jesus said to the man, for example, at the pool of Bethesda, after he healed that man who'd been in that cause 38 years, he says, go and sin no more, that nothing worse happens to you. And so he's looking back and said, hey, there, you know, don't continue in your lifestyle. Repent so that nothing worse happens to you. And so, you know, there is a time to look back at that and call to repentance. And there's a time in counseling where you can break off the sins of the past, you know, but there's a time for that. But for the most of us, we need to set our minds on what do you want to do here, Father? What is your will? What do you wish to do? And so in your prayers for people, you should say, Father, what are you wanting to do in this circumstance? And then hear from the Father and then minister that. So we need to be focused on what God wants to do as opposed to just what's caused this in the past. So, Father God, I thank you for this passage. I pray that you would really give us a new perspective about ministering to others, and you would fill us with more compassion on people. And I pray, Father, that we would be more opportunistic, and we would reach out to those who are suffering, and we would be eager to do the works, your works, the works of the Father. And so I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.